Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, lucky me, and lucky you. You are a fabulous audience. I tell you that. I hope by now I've told you you're fabulous and amazing and the best podcast audience ever for a lot of shows, a lot of years. And if you'll only been with us a little bit, a lot of shows and a lot of years in your future, I'm going to be telling you how fabulous you are. So you are always feeling fabulous. You come back here. This is one of your best. Self-esteem, goodness, esteem, having fun, listening, laughing, going, no way, going, oh my gosh, that's a good idea. I'm joining in. And today, you're going to fall in love with yourself. Today, you're going to feel super special. And you're like, what possibly, who could Deb have on the stage today? Well, let me tell you, we have Coach Cynthia Gregory. And she is not just a coach like you might think of a coach. I know, you're looking at her, you're like, oh my gosh. She's like the best football coach, the best. You're like, she looks like she knows what she's doing, and she does. She's a creativity coach. But I'm telling you, we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk a little bit about love. Yes, I am going to talk about love. And so for those of you that are in love already, like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. And for those of you that have been stunned a little bit by the love, you're like, no, thank you, please. Hang in here. Because you know what? I want you to think about a time when maybe you wrote a love note. Right? Maybe you looked out on the counter in the kitchen and said, thank you for picking up my dry cleaning. Or now, why didn't you pick up my dry cleaning? That's a love note. Maybe you were in school and you had those parties at Valentine's Day and someone put a card in your bag, or you wrote one to somebody and you were hoping they were going to write one back to you. Maybe it was in someone's lunchbox. Maybe it was a love note to, like, a friendship love note. Like, we do that all the time, right? But these love notes, like these words of affirmation, like these words that give feeling, right? So the whole idea around love notes, this woman is a specialist in love notes. Like, body 1, 2, 3, 4, 24. We don't know how long this is going to go, because the idea around love notes, okay, look at it. I'm going to tell you, Cynthia, you know this, but at our big launches that we do for 262, when you come to one and you see, there's always these really big bodacious rings, like those plastic kids rings that everyone wears. And then at our big events, we put love hearts. Now, that was a craze, right? Everyone's like, which one did you get? You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to give that one to Kim, right? I'm going to eat that one. So the whole premise around that little tiny thing that makes a big impact, that makes you smile on the inside. I'm going to stop talking. This is not my specialty. If one of you want to send me a love note, please do. I'd love to receive one. But Cynthia, there's a lead-in for you. You better talk about some love note stuff. So let's wiggle out feeling special. How are you today?
Thanks so much, Deb. I am just in love with being in love. I swear to God, I was minding my own business when I got an assignment. I was on silent retreat in Big Sur, listening to monks chanting in the background, reading Mary Oliver, just being caught up in the beauty of the moment and loving the place so much. And I got a download, an assignment called Love Notes from the Soul, an anthology of stories. And I can't make this up, right? I would not have chosen this assignment, but it was an assignment. I'm into book number 2 now. 3, 4, and 5 are on their way. People seem to love it, because who can't love a love note?
I know. Okay, so there's the scenario. You've gone obviously away to go do some personal transformation, whatever that means to you, for whatever reason you chose to do that. And then you get what some people consider a download, an epiphany, an idea, a hunch, a punch. Like it's non-negotiable, right? There you go. There's a new one. A hunch that's not non-negotiable is
that's a punch. Oh my gosh,
I'm gonna write that down.
that's it.
That's for somebody today. Never said that before in my life. So you're sitting there and then this comes to you. Had you ever like compiled a book before or been an author or?
I'd been an author before and I'd been asked to edit anthologies before, which I found out I really loved. I was a writer, discovering that I'm an editor was super fun. A new part of myself to love, if you will. But Love Notes from the Soul was the step further. I was like, Love Notes, sure, but Love Notes from the Soul, that's so woo. I came from a corporate background and I thought they're going to run me out on a rail. And the opposite thing happened. And when I told people I was working on this amazing new book called Love Notes from the Soul, they got all misty-eyed and like, oh, that just sounds amazing. And I'm like, tell me your story. Let's fall in love with your story. And the more I talked about it, I found myself falling in love with people's stories, the stories of struggle, the stories of triumph. And I'm like, do you know how amazing you are? You are the only one in the world to have that story. That is quite a love note. And in a very complicated world, we all need more love notes, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I hope I find one today. But you know what you do, right? You find these things that you do. I know when I'm going through peepers or my jewelry box or whatever, there's these little things, these mementos that mean something to you. Okay, so take us to, there's this great idea, epiphany, download, as you call it. You start to put it together. People's responses were misty-eyed. And so that was very inspiring. And then take it from
Well, I published that book in under a year, which is kind of not done. I mean, it usually takes a while to publish a book, but the momentum of it was really kind of beyond me. After a while, I felt like I was running to catch up with it. It was just generating that much interest and that much potential. And so, of course, I did what every high achiever does. I just jumped right into the next book without, blinking an eye. And this time, the second time around, I was asking, what are you doing to create a more compassionate world? And there's so many people, everyone in the 262 community is, people that I'm involved with who wouldn't consider themselves on any kind of a spiritual journey are doing the right thing every single day, which for me is creating a better world. And those stories were just so easy to aggregate and to bring in and share. And I recognize that part of my mission in helping people share their stories is really falling in love with their own story because so many people don't. They're just living their life, they're just doing their thing. And it's just like each one is so unique in the history of the world that all of these different factors had to come into play for those two people to meet, to have that exchange that opened their hearts or maybe broke their hearts so they could open up again another time. It's all about the surprises, love that life throws at you that in the moment you don't always appreciate, but in retrospect, you go, I'm so glad I didn't get what I wanted back then. I'm so glad that guy or that girl broke my heart because I wouldn't be in the current relationship that I'm in if that hadn't happened. And so it's about kind of embracing it, the serendipity of life too, and letting it lead you down that path so you can get to that love note.
I know, beautiful. So the book that is alive and kicking today that people can go get is a compilation of people that have written their story in relationship to love, relationship to, like, to give us a little more of what, because I think that when you have something a little defined, because we have so many stories, not that we think we do, not that we think we do. You said it, right?
Never, never.
They're like, well, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, you do know about the ask parties. People are like, well, I don't know what to ask for. You're like, it's almost like saying, like, not that they don't know themselves, they just don't know how to know or how to access it. So what was it, right? Obviously, you said it was easy and a year you're out on the market. Now you're working on your second book. What was the defining that allowed people to go, oh, I have a story about that?
Well, it's really your secret sauce. And you said it's like most people don't see their own story. So that's my expertise. And I know I know the psychology of story. I know the way stories are built. I've made stories the study of my life. And so I'm my ears are attuned to them. So here's an example of one story. I know a man who has a corporate job, and he also loves drumming. He's in a drumming circle. And I said, well, where did your love of music come from? Again, the misty eyes. Well, back in Indiana, where he grew up, in the middle, in the heartland, in the, you know, in the you know, all of the good in the world happens in the Midwest, right? And he grew up in church, and his family had their pews in church, and the music was exciting, and he was engaged. And so from a very young age, he was fed the language of music. And then in his corporate life, he had an opportunity to go to Africa, and he fell in love with the drumming circles, that heartbeat motion of drumming. And my favorite part of his story, every one of them I have a favorite part in, but my favorite part of his story is he traded his first authentic African drum for the shoes on his feet. Because his shoes were a luxury item where he was. He wasn't talking to a bunch of people who were dressed with top to toes. And so for him, it was the easiest trade in the world. I love that story so much.
I love that story.
It says so much, right? Yeah. Once you start pulling that thread of what somebody loves and why they love it and the impact of that love, it gets to the very core of them. And that's the magic of the love note story. So the more I do this, it's just I almost get giddy with the idea of sharing this much love, and it's just everywhere, and it's everywhere. And I've got four more books coming that are going to be all full of it.
Okay. So let's reverse it a little bit, because we both get very versed on how people feel after they contribute into a book, but not everybody can see that. It's not something. I'm not an author. And they have that, they're trepidatious. So they don't really know if what they have, not that they don't value it, but almost they don't know if it has value for others, right?
Is there, right? Because it comes, yeah.
Yeah, because it comes from them, and they've looked at the story, they know the story, and they've heard it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the feelings that people get from participating in something that's of the nature?
Intense pride. They're so I tell all my authors, take a photograph, take a selfie with you in the book, and they send them to me. And the looks on their faces are so proud. And so just like they are illuminated. This is their soul illuminating, shining through their pride, their sense of accomplishment. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage to share your story. There's a story in here of a woman who did an amazing, amazing project, a national project. And there was one person in that whole process that was a bit of a thorn at her side. And just the day before the book was published, she said, oh, God, Cynthia, I'm terrified. I'm terrified they're going to find out. And I'm like, honey, this is your story. If they want to share their story, they have to share their story. This is your story. You own every bit of it. And so there's that, too. It's like getting to own your story and seeing its impact on the world. They wouldn't know. They wouldn't know outside of publishing that that is possible. People often cry. People will cry when we do our readings. I say, no, listen, we're pros here. Practice at home. Don't cry when you're reading. Pros don't do that. Because so often when people hear their words they've only heard in their head come out of their mouth, they hear it differently. And they just dissolve into tears. And usually I'm like, yep, that's a love note. Because when it hits you that deeply,
yeah.
It's not ambiguous. You know you've experienced something truly beautiful and sacred.
Well, I mean, I know that you had that download about love notes, and that probably helped with the title of the book, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to ask you, what about you and your love notes? Like, did you ever have a Valentine's Day bag at school? Like, what's your, like, when you have love notes? I think sometimes they talk to you in either language. So tell me what you think about love and all that good stuff.
I've recently allowed love back into my life, which was super fun, which is probably a lot of what this work is doing. But honestly, I think that as a writing instructor, a creativity coach, I'm often working with people in groups or individually, and I'll go, have you ever written something down and then put it away and come back and were astonished by what you read and went, who wrote that? I've experienced that. When you're in the moment, you know, time goes by, you can go by hours and you're so immersed in your art that you don't even notice it. And you don't think anything of it and you put it away because it's what you do all the time. You put it away and you come back to it later. And I go, when you come back to your writing or any kind of a creative project like that, and you kind of wonder to yourself, who wrote that? My feeling is that is a love note from your soul. That came, it didn't come from you. It came through you. And that, because I've often felt sometimes when I write and I'm in really in the moment, and I'm in the mood, in that really deep creative space, I feel that I am channeling something from beyond myself. That it's like my brain, as well educated as it is, can't possibly come up with the depth of understanding intellectually or emotionally what is coming through. So I'm kind of a typist in that way sometimes when a story is coming through. So that's to me what love notes is about. And as a result of these books, too, to answer your question, I do a lot more love notes now. I tell people in my life I love them all the time. And before I wouldn't do that. I go, oh, no, that's too, I don't want to overstep. But I had dinner with a friend last night, haven't seen her for a while, and she was going through a couple, it's kind of a tough time. And I just put my arms around her and said, I love you so much. And that's what she needed to hear. And it's such an easy thing to do. So, yeah, it has changed me. It's made me a bigger fan of love, a bigger fan of expressing that love in the moment and allowing it in. It's all good.
That's it, right? I think that a bigger fan of love. I love that. I love that. That's it. You know, I always say, that sounds like such a great song. You know, someone should make a song. I'm a big fan of love. Because I think by nature, no matter what your experience with love is, and we usually tend to think about, you know, that relationship love. I think that most people are a big fan of love. And then you can see it in so many ways, but also letting it in. Because sometimes love can be funky. Right? Love can be funky and
right.
Allow it. And you having your own personal development, which I think happens when you choose to take on the calling or the plunge, right? It is a personal development journey for the compiler as well. The
incidents
between multiple people listening, holding, I call it holding that container. But if you're holding a container of people to allow them to step back into love, to feel love, to share love, because it's pretty rare someone's going to share about something and say and share it detached, particularly a topic such as love. That would be probably a rarity. But you're holding that container as well for all those people.
Yes. And I think that, you know, if we all have our own curriculum in the school of life, in Earth School, then this is definitely one of mine, because it's my love of story. It's my love of humanity. It's my love of wanting to see the world healed and healthier and for everybody in it, right? So this is my small individual way of practicing this in my own life and the people that I'm lucky enough to share a life with. And it's kind of like those concentric circles, right? It's a butterfly effect. Share a little bit more love locally, and somebody else is going to have a great day, and they're going to share that with somebody else, and they're going to share that with somebody else. We can do this. We can fill this world with love. And I think, what does it only take, like 3% of us to have that groundswell to make that happen?
I think we're there.
We're so close.
We're so close, right? Okay, so you've seen it, I've seen it, but maybe our audience hasn't seen it. So they're like, okay, now I'm going to write my book. I'm going to write a book one day. I personally think participating as a compiler is a really great place to get your feet wet. Like, I think of someone who's supported people that have written solo books, solo, like all of that, I think it's really interesting to watch and observe, because, you know, the marketing of your own book, I got to say, can also be kind of funky, right? It's like, it's a big task. And if you have been
this to
screw a little bit, and I think I always say to people, as a learning experience, as a personal growth experience, it's like going to a really good workshop. Go, you're going to meet yourself. You're going to learn new skills. You're going to learn you are coming from an entrepreneurial background, or you're coming from a place where this is completely not your wheelhouse, you know? So as a group and collective, because we think,
oh my gosh,
we're going to do this, or we want to write a book one day, and you know, yay you that have participated in this Love Notes book, because we know that 3% of the world wants to write a book. and or 97% or something, 87% wants to write a book, and only 3% people have.
That's exactly it. Yeah, yes.
This is a great way to step it in. What's the group dynamic like? Like, do people end up making friends? Do they meet people? Is it something people can do just on their own? Like, what's that collective dynamic?
It's so much easier than doing it on your own. As you know, it's like, it's everything is on you. And this is what I love about the collective and the collaborative part of it. It's like we're all in it together, which makes it really fun. I've got a growing community of writers now, and they've become friends. They rely on one another. We're in communication, and that group experience is beyond anything that I could have imagined. That's probably one of the biggest surprises to me in this process. I'm like, oh, I can edit a book. I can recruit people to do this. But the real heart and soul of it is how these stories come together and how one story, if you read them sequentially, if you pick up the book and you read it from beginning to end, the story preceding the story you're reading is going to impact the way you understand that story, because each story kind of opens you up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And then the other thing that's really astonishing about this process is that the synchronicities start to occur. Like, I did not intend to make this a post-Vietnam War book, but there are two stories that are really poignant and beautiful. One from the point of view of somebody who was a child when her brother went off to war, and the other one was a medic in Vietnam. And even though their experiences were so very different, they have that core common understanding of a shared experience that I don't share in. I didn't have that experience. So it's really beautiful the way that people connect through their stories and how the ideas just expand. They just continue to expand. The basic ideas are, how are you creating a world that's more compassionate? I got 28 versions of that.
Right. Which is cool. That was the question that they were to answer, per se, was about
compassion. Yeah. What are you doing personally? And whether that's raising a family or actually creating art or whatever it is that they're doing, that is your contribution to humanity. That is what they came in this lifetime to share. And they're busy going about their business of this lifetime. And so we all have that connective tissue. I think we're all here on assignment. But if we can share stories together, we can come together in community. Whether it's sitting around a campfire telling stories, or in the oral tradition, before printing presses and books, people shared knowledge through stories. You know, they had stories attached to everything they did, and we've kind of lost that in our very sophisticated world. But I think that primitive part of our brain still responds to story. And so does our heart, obviously.
No, no, no. You know what? When you say that, there's this great movie that I've watched 1,000 times. Steve hasn't watched 1,000 times. When, you know. Okay, so one of the movies for me is You Got Mail with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. And she she owns this beautiful store just around the corner. And of course, he's a big conglomerate guy that is, you know, who's literally opened up a store around the corner. And you see that, you know, at one part in the one scene in the movie is about him with his niece and nephew and or niece and brother or whatever. And they go to story time because it happens to be in this beautiful, quaint little. And I see
story time.
Story time. People just there was and has been many. I mean, we probably call them lectures now, right? For adults, story time is lectures.
Pretty much. Right.
When a poet's reading, there's poetry readings. There would be, you know, authors sharing from their book. I mean, a lot of times you've shown up at a library, people are reading from their books. That really is adult story time. And I think it's almost like active movie watching, where you get to, you're there, you're active, you're listening, you're watching somebody, and you're participating in this incredible story. And I think it's like that when you read an anthology of multiple stories. It engages you, and somehow it transports you to that experience. And then you have your own relatability to it. So your experience in reading an anthology is so growing for you personally, because you're engaged in, right? Do you get it? It's like,
yes, I do. And I think that that's why we love story time as a kid, right? We can just immerse ourselves into it, because as children, we don't see the difference between story and reality. It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then as adults, we grow out of that, but we still have that attachment to story. We still respond to it. My sister and I used to tell each other stories. We shared a bedroom, large family, many kids. and we shared a bedroom, and we would tell each other stories at night to help each other fall asleep. So when she was moving from Washington State to Minnesota, I was living in LA. Her husband took a position in Minnesota, and she goes, I'm going to drive cross country. And I said, alone? No, you're not. And so I drove from LA to Seattle, and I drove with her. And I chose a book by one of my favorite authors, which happens to take place in those northwestern states. And so we're driving across I-90 across the country, and we're reading to one another. Whoever's driving gets to listen. Whoever's passenger gets to read. And it was one of the best road trips of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as we're coming to an end, I think that a great place to end off is if there's anything that, because I introduced you as a creativity coach, and I'm sure there's some
other
going, whoop. So what is a creativity? What is a creativity coach? Like, what is it that you do for people? And then leave us with the, if you have the name of the second book, or maybe it's just in conception, we don't know, but if you can share that. And then of course, all of Cynthia's gorgeous, beautiful information, as you know, will be in our beautiful show notes for you to tap into. But what is a creativity coach? Let's end there.
I help the people to share their stories. They're so stopped up. They're afraid to make a mistake. And I'm like, let's just start, you know, let's just start. And telling their stories can look like a book. It can look like a workbook. It can be a letter. Everybody starts at their own place. And I give people permission to share their stories. And I encourage them, which I think a lot of us got turned off of creative writing, perhaps in middle school when we started being really judged for it. And I'm like, mine is a judgment-free zone. My entire mission is just to help people share their stories, to fall in love with their stories, and then to share them with the world.
Very cool. Very cool. You have the name of the next one? Is it?
I do.
Is it? You do. Okay. So no, share. Do tell.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Lemnos 3.0. It's the inner life of leadership. I think we have an awakening world of leaders coming online now. And I want to share those stories because I think they're totally inspirational and they apply to so many people across the board.
Right on, right on. Well, I'm a big fan. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. That, read between those lines. Those written lines. Oh my gosh. And Cynthia, it's so great. And if you, for those of you that are following 262, and we know that's a lot of you, Cynthia's on our stage. She's part of the 262. She's very active there. So if you're in 262, look her up. If not, you can go to the directory on demdrummond.com. You know that's where we host everything. You can go to the directory. If she's not there, send us a message. We'll connect you to her. If you want to be seen here, if you want your story, if you want time to tell your story on our podcast, on our stages, and our pages, on our platter, anything that we do, then you know you can go to demdrummond.com. It's all there. Have some fun. And at the bottom of most pages, you'll find the contact link that will directly go to my email. Bypass my team. So I get to, as Cynthia would say, hear your story. What is it that you want to say? So I always say, like, you know, the teacher always shows up when the student needs it, and the student shows up when the teacher needs it.
Yeah.
Right? If that was for you today. So yeah, I hope things landed for you. Go get the book. You know, if you want to be in one, contact Cynthia. She's got them lined up and ready for you. I'm sure there's a category, a topic that would accentuate what it is that you want to share. Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. So thank you once again. You're an incredible audience. Cynthia, thank you so much for being with us today. I know I asked you one last question and you didn't see that the book was ready, but I got to ask one thing, first thing that tops to your head, a completely different topic.
Okay.
What is something that's on your bucket list that you would like to accomplish before the end of the end?
Oh my gosh. A second trip to Paris.
Okay. Paris it is. So if anyone else there knows anything Paris, contact Cynthia. That's how it works. So Paris, Cynthia, we got it. All right. Bonjour. Au revoir. Bonsoir. For our time today.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime. Okay. Bye. Everybody be well and stay groovy. See you next week.